Unlike most funk bands of the era, Funkadelic embraced distortion, heavy riffs, and sprawling jams. They were essentially a rock band wrapped in funk aesthetics, and it set them apart from Clinton's other project, Parliament. The contrast between the two highlighted Funkadelic's willingness to venture into darker, more introspective territory, while still keeping the groove alive. Tracks like Super Stupid and Can You Get to That showcase their ability to blend social commentary with mind-bending instrumentals. But despite their immense talent and innovative approach, Funkadelic struggled to gain mainstream traction. The rock community didn't fully embrace their funk elements, while traditional funk audiences found their rock influences a bit too abrasive. Plus, their ever-evolving lineup and Clinton's unorthodox leadership style made consistency a challenge. By the late 70s, the rise of disco and the shifting musical landscape left Funkadelic somewhat stranded between genres. Today, however, their legacy is undeniable. Influencing everyone from Prince to the Red Hot Chili Peppers, Funkadelic's daring blend of genres paved the way for a whole new kind of rock-funk fusion. Their music, once seen as too unconventional, is now celebrated as a crucial link between rock's raw power and funk's irresistible groove. Number 8. The New York Dolls. If Funkadelic brought the funk to rock, the New York Dolls injected it with pure glam punk swagger. Emerging from the grimy streets of New York City in the early 70s, they looked like rock stars and misfits rolled into one, drenched in makeup, leather, and glitter, with an attitude that screamed rebellion. Their self-titled debut album in 1973 was a chaotic masterpiece, capturing the raw energy of proto-punk with a sleazy glam rock aesthetic. Led by the flamboyant David Johansen and the ragged brilliance of guitarist Johnny Thunders, the New York Dolls didn't just play rock, they attacked it. Tracks like Personality Crisis and Trash were loud, sloppy, and unapologetically fun, capturing the spirit of a band teetering on the brink of collapse at any given moment. Critics didn't know what to make of them at first, but their sound would later prove foundational to both punk and hair metal. Unfortunately, the Dolls were plagued by internal conflicts, substance abuse, and a music industry that didn't know how to market them. After just two studio albums, they disbanded, and their legacy seemed destined to fade away. As punk exploded in the latter part of the decade, most of the credit went to bands like the Ramones and the Sex Pistols, leaving the Dolls largely forgotten by the mainstream. But without them, there's no telling what punk or glam rock would have looked like. Their influence loomed large over bands like The Clash, The Damned, and later even Guns N' Roses. Looking back, it's clear they were too ahead of their time, too raw and too real for an industry still figuring out what rock and roll could become. Number 9. Hawkwind. While the New York Dolls were setting fire to the punk scene, Hawkwind was taking rock into the farthest reaches of space. This British band pioneered space rock in the early 70s, combining hard rock riffs with synthesizer experiments and intergalactic themes. They quickly became known for their sci-fi aesthetics and mind-altering live shows, fronted by Dave Brock and featuring the legendary Lemmy Kilmister on bass before he went on to form Motorhead. Hawkwind's music was a trip in every sense of the word. Their 1973 live album Space Ritual is the perfect Hawkwind experience, a sprawling, hypnotic blend of heavy rock and cosmic soundscapes. Songs like Master of the Universe and Brainstorm capture the feeling of being propelled through a wormhole, with lyrics that mixed mythology, dystopian futures, and pure psychedelic chaos. It wasn't just music, it was an experience designed to obliterate the senses. Despite their fans, mainstream success eluded them. Space rock was too niche, too weird for mass appeal, and even as bands like Pink Floyd found a way to blend psychedelia with commercial accessibility, Hawkwind remained firmly on the fringes. Bands like Monster Magnet and Osrigg Tentacles drew heavily from Hawkwind's playbook, and space rock itself remains an underground staple. Even Motorhead carried some of that cosmic energy into the metal world, proving that Hawkwind's influence wasn't just limited to their own genre. Number 10. Roxy Music. Formed in 1970 by Brian Ferry and Brian Eno, Roxy Music were like nothing else on the scene. Their 1973 album, For Your Pleasure, captured their expertise perfectly, with tracks like Do the Strand blending old-world elegance with futuristic weirdness. Roxy Music didn't just make records, they curated entire experiences. Brian Ferry's crooning vocals, Brian Eno's electric textures, and Phil Manzanera's guitar work created a dreamy, unpredictable atmosphere. They were glam, but not in the sloppy, reckless way of the New York Dolls. They were experimental, but more polished than Hawkwind. Ferry's slick charisma gave them an air of detached cool, while Eno's presence made sure things stayed just strange enough. But as the band gained traction, Eno's departure in 1973 marked a shift. Ferry took the reins, steering the band toward a more polished and mainstream sound. Though they found success in the UK, the American audience remained elusive. Plus, Ferry's increasingly solo-focused ambitions splintered the band's creative direction. They never quite broke into the upper echelons of rock royalty, and the eclectic nature of their music made it hard for radio stations to know what to do with them. Still, Roxy Music's influence spread far and wide, seeping into the DNA of acts like Duran Duran, Depeche Mode, and even Bowie's late 70s work. Their ability to blend art rock with pop sensibilities made them unsung architects of both glam rock and new wave. Even if they never got the global domination they deserved, their legacy shaped countless artists who took glam from trashy to tasteful. Number 11, Thin Lizzy. While Roxy Music was busy injecting glam rock with elegance, Thin Lizzy was proving that twin guitar harmonies and streetwise storytelling could coexist. Formed in Dublin in 1969 and fronted by charismatic Phil Lynott, Thin Lizzy didn't fit neatly into any single rock subgenre. They blended hard rock, blues, and a bit of Celtic flair, and Lynott's poetic lyrics made every song feel like a gritty urban epic. Their breakthrough came in 1976 with Jailbreak, featuring the immortal hit The Boys Are Back in Town. This track alone was enough to cement them in rock history, but their catalog went so much deeper. Songs like Cowboy Song and Emerald showcased their ability to craft intricate guitar harmonies without losing the raw edge of rock and roll. Lynott's storytelling, whether it was about romance, rebellion, or folklore, made him one of rock's most compelling frontmen. Despite their undeniable talent, Thin Lizzy never quite reached the commercial peak they deserved. For one, they were caught between genres, too heavy for mainstream rock, but too melodic for metal. Add to that the inconsistency caused by lineup changes and Lynott's struggles with addiction, and it became clear they were fighting an uphill battle. While bands like Led Zeppelin and Deep Purple were conquering arenas worldwide, Thin Lizzy remained more of a fan favorite. Even so, everyone from Metallica to Iron Maiden has cited them as an inspiration, particularly for their iconic dual guitar sound. Looking back, it's hard not to see Thin Lizzy as the bridge between classic rock and the heavier sounds that would dominate the 80s. Number 12, Blue Oyster Cult. If Thin Lizzy brought Celtic swagger to rock, Blue Oyster Cult drenched it in cryptic occult mystique. Formed in 1967 in Long Island, New York, they became known for their intellectual lyrics and dark, enigmatic image. Their 1976 hit, Don't Fear the Reaper, was more than just a rock song. It was a haunting meditation on mortality, wrapped in one of the catchiest guitar riffs ever written. But BOC wasn't just about that one hit. Their early albums, like Secret Treaties 1974, were loaded with obscure references and complex arrangements, blending hard rock with elements of psychedelia and proto-metal. Songs like Astronomy had an almost cinematic quality, pushing listeners into eerie, atmospheric narratives. The problem was that the band's dense intellectual approach made them a bit of an enigma to mainstream audiences. Critics often praised their musicianship, but couldn't quite pin down what made them tick. Plus, their reputation as the thinking man's heavy metal band put them in a weird limbo, too cerebral for hard rock purists and too heavy for casual listeners. Despite not fitting neatly into the mainstream, Blue Oyster Cult's influence on hard rock and metal can't be overstated. Metallica, Ghost, and even punk icons The Minutemen have cited them as a major influence. Number 13, The Modern Lovers. While Blue Oyster Cult was weaving dark, cryptic tales, The Modern Lovers were keeping it raw, real, and relentlessly honest. Formed in the early 1970s in Boston and fronted by the awkward and uncompromising Jonathan Richman, they were proto-punk before punk even had a name. Their self-titled album, recorded in 1972 but not released until 76, became an underground classic, fusing garage rock energy with lyrics that were equal parts sarcastic, earnest, and downright weird. Tracks like Roadrunner and Pablo Picasso showcased Richman's deadpan delivery and minimalist aesthetic, all while laying the groundwork for punk, new wave, and indie rock. But the Modern Lovers were a band seemingly destined to burn out before they could ever truly catch fire. Personality clashes, Richman's increasing preference for softer sounds, and a general lack of commercial appeal led to an early breakup. By the time their debut actually hit the shelves, the band was long gone, and Richman had moved on to more whimsical acoustic fare. While their music clearly left an impression, they never had the chance to fully capitalize on the punk movement they helped inspire. Number 14, Gentle Giant. Look at my friend, look around my friend. If the Modern Lovers made simplicity an art form, Gentle Giant took the exact opposite approach, crafting some of the most intricate, complex, progressive rock of the decade. Formed in 1970 by the Shulman brothers, Derek, Ray, and Phil, alongside keyboard wizard Carrie Manier and guitar virtuoso Gary Green, the band thrived on pushing musical boundaries. Their 1972 album Octopus exemplified their unconventional style, blending rock with classical, jazz, and medieval influences, all while pulling off absurdly complex time signatures and multi-instrumental wizardry. Despite their musical brilliance, they never quite caught on with the mainstream. Part of it was the sheer density of their compositions. Songs like The Advent of Panurge and Raconteur Troubadour demanded serious attention and an appreciation for musicianship that most casual listeners just didn't have. Meanwhile, bands like Yes and Genesis were managing to walk that line between complexity and accessibility, something Gentle Giant never quite mastered. Still, for prog rock lovers and musicians, Gentle Giant became legends. Their ability to juggle such intricate arrangements without losing a sense of melody remains phenomenal. Though the band called it quits in 1980, their legacy as one of the most technically proficient and ambitious bands of the 70s remains intact. Number 15. Little Feat. Gentle Giant might have been bending musical rules, but Little Feat was blending genres with a laid-back confidence that made them one of the most respected and criminally underrated bands of the 70s. Formed in Los Angeles in 1969 by singer-guitarist Lowell George and keyboardist Bill Payne, they drew from rock, blues, funk, jazz, and country to craft a sound that was both distinctly Southern and uniquely California. Their 1972 album Sail and Shoes was perfection in effortless groove and storytelling, while Dixie Chicken, 1973, solidified their place as cult favorites. Despite their undeniable talent and critical acclaim, Little Feat never broke into mainstream superstardom. Part of the problem was that their sound was just too eclectic to fit comfortably into any one genre. They had the musicianship to impress rock audiences, the soul to sway R&B fans, and the rootsiness to appeal to country listeners, but not enough of each to dominate any one market. Plus, Lowell George's struggles with addiction and his untimely death in 1979 cut their potential short. Yet, Little Feat's reputation among fellow musicians soared. Bands like Phish and the Allman Brothers have paid tribute to their unique sound and tight musicianship, while their songs have been covered and celebrated by countless artists. Which of these underrated 70s bands do you think deserved way more recognition? Or did we miss one that should have made the list?